it's right. Living a life every day of our life.
Do you think Islam is like Hinduism? Prove it to me. Do you think it's like Christianity? Do you think it's like Judaism, Buddhism? It's not. I don't believe you.
What's the evidence?
I don't see anything.
What can I prove?
I don't hear anything.
And Allah tells me in the Quran, it's not me who guides him. That's not my job. I've delivered a message. This book tells me, in Adina, in Dalahir, Islam.
Therefore, it doesn't exist.
It's a choice for us to accept or reject. It's as simple as that. كل من أهمل هديته فهو أولى الناس
طرا بالفناء لن يرى في الدهر قوميته بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد السلام عليكم. Tonight we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, Islam. This is my favorite subject. Everybody likes Islam. Is anybody here doesn't like Islam? Huh? I dare you to stand up in front of all these terrorists. I mean Muslims. I meant to say Muslims. Actually, the subject tonight is kind of big. And the subject we're talking about now is going to be about science. And a lot of times people in the religion business don't want to go there. They don't want to talk about science because it could mess up what they're trying to say. Some real obvious things happen when you get into science. Science basically meaning what? What are we talking about when we talk about science? We're talking about proving things with testable evidence. Can I use this term? Is that okay? I'm not trying to redefine anything, but will everybody accept proving something with testable evidence? Can I use that? And we'll say that's science, okay? All right. The first thing that happens in the religious business is there's not a whole lot you can prove. There's not. What are you going to prove? And I remember when I first came into Islam, I had no idea I was coming to Islam. I was trying to convert, remember that, a Muslim to be a Christian. And he said, I'll go to your religion. I said, great. He said, if your religion's better than my religion, he said, but you're going to have proof. Huh? Religion, by the way, that's one of my degrees, happens to be in theology. And for sure, religion is not about proof. It's about faith. Faith. You got to have faith, you know, like that. Not about proof. What's that? I said, faith is religion. He said, no. In Islam, we have both. I said, both? How can you have both? How can it be that you're going to tell me that you have faith and proof? How? And then I challenge him, are you going to tell me you can prove there's a God? Now stop and think. What kind of question did I just ask him? What? A man preaching a religion is asking somebody else to prove my point. I'm out here talking about God, right? I'm saying there's a God, right? Every preacher is saying there's a God. There's no religion on earth that will tell you, well, we're not real sure. We're just kind of like having fun with you today. No, there's God. There is God. Is there any proof? And then the preacher himself will go, no, there's no proof. How could I be asking him, can you prove it? I'm supposed to be a preacher. He said in Islam, it's absolutely provable, testable evidence. The science starts right there. Where does science start in Islam? Immediately. Where's the proof? هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. Al-Khaliq. In Arabic, the creator. No scientist wants to start with that. Creator? No. Well, logical conclusion, testable evidence, go back to science. If there's a creation, there has to be a creator, yes or no? Yes or no? I just want to know that. If there's a creation, there's a creator, yes or no? Okay. So ask a scientist, isn't that true? If there's a creation, there's a creator. He'll say, no. You say, why? He said, there's no creation. Well, what's this? What's what? What's in front of you? Don't you see anything? Now, if you go to philosophy, anybody know what's philosophy? What's philosophy? Oh. Philosophy, my limited knowledge, right? But it seems to me philosophy is proving you don't exist anymore. Because that's one of the things they ask you. Can you prove you exist? That's philosophy for you, huh? I know I don't want that. Say, you can't prove you exist? Are you sure? What if I walk up and smack you? And you go, hey, I don't exist. I don't like that deal. Testable evidence. Is there a creation? Yes or no? Let's solve that tonight. It's hot up here. Excuse me. Everybody's got your eyes open, right? Do you see anything around you? Okay, then it's there. Can we accept that? If you see stuff in front of you, I'm going to say it's there, all right? And if you hear something, is anybody here right now you can't hear what I'm saying? Now, that's a real stupid question, isn't it? Huh? Come on, think about it. Is anybody here cannot hear me? Duh. So if you can see and you can hear, that's something, yes or no? All right, so we're going to use that for testable evidence. Do you see anything? Yes. Do you hear anything? Yes. Therefore, something is there. So it exists. Do you accept existence? Okay, I accept that. Now we want to talk about where did it come from? Well, everybody knows human beings came from monkeys. What? We did. Okay, easy one for you. This is easy. I'm not going to stretch your brain too hard. You're going to tell me we came from monkeys. How does it work? This is evolution. What is evolution? Evolution means something evolves. It's at one stage and then it evolves to another stage. By the way, most religions don't accept evolution. Religions don't accept evolution. Evolving from this to this. They said there's this big mass, a rock, floating in space. And it blew up. What made it blow up? I don't know. When did it blow up? I don't know. How did it blow up? I don't know. What was it before it was a rock? I don't know. But you're telling me evolution. So the rock must have come from something else. I don't know. But anyway, there was a rock. All right. And it blew up. And it blew up. Okay. And then everything happened after that. Oh, really? Everything come from a blowing up. Just trying to get the idea how it works. And from the blowing up came stars. How did that happen? From the blowing up. Excuse me. I don't want to bother you with your thinking. But we're Muslims. And you can pick up any newspaper or listen to any television channel on earth and you will find we're the experts on blowing up, okay? So don't tell us about blowing up. When you blow something up, is it a mess or it's real nice? Which one? Organized or mess? Okay. I'm going to use the word chaos, meaning big mess. Chaos or organization? Okay, just real slow. Blowing up. Chaos, organization. Which one? Okay. But just to be real sure, in case you forgot, look out with your eyes. Look out as far as you can see at night, especially, and look at the stars. Is it pretty? It's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful, mystic kind of a thing that a human being goes, whoa. It's so overwhelming that a young boy will like to take his new wife, his bride out, his girl, and take her out just to look at the stars. They do it all the time because it's so romantic. It's so, you're just looking at a bunch of fires. If all you believe in is this, what you said, evolution, those are just fires, man. Just light some matches and get excited. But no, you like to look at those and there's patterns in there. Are there patterns or no?
Do people follow those patterns and figure out how to go from A to B? Yes or no? Okay. So there's something of organization, and it came out of a blowing up. Amazing. Now, if I took a glass, and I walk out to the cement, and I drop it, boom. What am I looking at? Am I looking at 6, 8, 10, 12 little small glasses all filled up with water? Or am I looking at a mess, chaos? Which one? All right, let's do another one. I'll drop another glass. Maybe that one will make the 6 glasses or 8 glasses. Huh? No? And another, and another, and another, and another. How many glasses will I drop before it will split up and make a nice little small set of glasses for me? And it will never, ever, ever happen. Yes or no? And suppose a cyclone or tornado goes through where all the old cars, you know where you put the old cars when they're no good anymore? Junkyard. And a big storm goes through and stirs them all up. Tsunami goes through and stirs them all up. And when it goes away, a brand new car is sitting there, or chaos? That's strange, isn't it? You can see that. And you're so smart, you're such a big scientist, but you can't figure out that this is a creation. Why? Well, because if it is, then there's a creator, and you don't want to know about that. That's the real problem, isn't it? Is that the problem? You don't want to know. So, you the scientist, you're supposed to bring me the evidence, testable evidence. Can I see any kind of evidence for what your argument is? Anything. Just show me something. They said, well, a human being looks like a monkey. Well, Hold on. I, too, have a brother-in-law, and he does look like a monkey. You're right. But that doesn't mean that human beings came out of monkeys. And even if they did, that doesn't prove your theory that there's no God. Where'd the monkey come from? And excuse me, I don't like to hurt your philosophy, but if it's evolve, something is here, it becomes better. So it's not this thing anymore, is it? It becomes that, yes or no? And then that becomes the next thing and the next thing. And according to the pictures they show you in the books, written by atheists, it shows you that there's this little creepy thing comes out of the water. And then the creepy thing becomes like a little small, I don't know what. And then it becomes like a marmoset. The marmoset becomes some kind of a little small monkey, a bigger monkey. Then it becomes an ape of some kind. Then it becomes a chimpanzee-looking thing. And then a gorilla. And then a man-looking thing. And then finally, hey, there's Homo sapien, right? Right? That's what they show, yes or no? Okay, even if we go with this theory, humans came from monkeys. Why are there still monkeys? Oops. Okay. Well, you don't understand. Yeah, I don't want to understand like you understand. I really don't. I like being real simple-minded. I like it because everything works. But still, for the benefit of those who got a little too much education, they got so much education they can't think straight anymore. We're going to try to help them a little bit with what we call testable evidence. I want to give you a little scenario and let you think about this. And I'm going to play the part of a professor. He's a philosophy professor at the university, one of these big fancy universities of higher earning and misunderstanding. I mean, higher learning and understanding, I'm sorry, anyway. And his name is Iam Kathar, and he's the professor here of philosophy. Now, he has some students that are new. This is the first year. So when he gets started, he's going to have a good time with the newbies, you know. So he goes in, hello, class. Hello, hello, okay. So, do we have any new students here? Yeah, we got several, okay. Great.
Son, do you know what philosophy means? Well, I want you to think about something. See what you can prove and what you can't prove. Can you prove you're here right now? I don't know. Oh. Can you prove you exist? Oh, I don't know. If there was a tree on a desert island, nobody's there, no animals, no birds, nothing is there. The tree becomes old and it rots, and then it falls over one day and hits the ground. Will the tree make any sound if there's nobody there to hear it? And son, have you ever thought about a chicken? Where did chicken come from? Come from an egg? Where did the egg come from? A chicken. But where did the chicken come from? An egg. And where did the egg come from? A chicken. So which one was first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. But didn't it come out of an egg? Oh, yeah. But where did the egg come from? I don't know. Oh, sit down, boy. Do you have any believers here with us? Any young men like to talk to me about belief? One little Christian boy. Me. Stand up, boy. Yes, sir. Son, do you believe in God? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. Okay. So, your God is good? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, God is good. Your God, can He do anything? Yes, sir, He sure can. Yes, sir, God, He can do anything. Good. And your God is good? Yes, sir. Is there any evil in the world? Yeah. So your God, He can do it. Did your God create everything? Yeah, He sure did. So your God created everything and there's evil. Is that right? Yeah. But your God is good. Yeah. Do people die? Yeah. People get sick? Yeah. Do people suffer? Yeah. Are people in pain and agony? Yeah. Is there prostitutes in the street? Yeah. Drug addicts over here? Yeah. People in jail? Yeah. Murder, rape, death? Is that existing? Storms like tsunami? Is this happening? Yeah. Your God is good, huh? Son, are you good? Well, I like to think I am. But you're a good boy. Yes, sir. All right. Now, if you saw somebody over here was suffering, wouldn't you help them out? Yes, sir. A victim of some kind of a tragedy, would you go to them? Would you help them? Yes, sir, I would. I would do that. Sure you would, son. You're a good boy. But you said your God is good, and He can do anything. Yes, sir. So why doesn't He do something about that? Son, where did evil come from? From your God? Did your God make evil? No, sir. No, sir. God is good. He wouldn't make any evil. So where did it come from? The devil made it. The devil made evil? So the devil has power, huh? Yeah. So your God's not the only God. There's a good God and a bad God, huh? Two gods? Well, not two. So I heard you guys have a trinity, but now it became a square. You got a new one in there. How's that work? Sit down, boy. Another hand goes up. Ah, who's my new student over here? Sir, my name's Muhammad. Muhammad, you one of them Muslims? Yes, sir. Well, why don't you speak some wisdom to us here today, my fine Muslim friend? You have something to say? Sir, I'd like to ask you a question. Oh, you want to ask me something? Go ahead, boy. Bring it on. Sir, is there such a thing as light? You trying to be funny, boy? No, I'm just asking a question. Of course there's light. There's light all over the place. Open your eyes. Light is everywhere. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand. Second part of the question, sir, is there darkness? Well, now, son, if there was, everybody knows there's darkness. There's light and there's darkness.
No, sir, there's not.
Huh? What are you talking about?
Sir, there's light. There's light all over the place here. We have watts of light, megawatts of light. Light from light bulbs, candles, lanterns, flashlights, matches, the sun, the moon. There's all kind of light, sir. But what kind of darkness is there? You can bring me a light bulb, a flashlight, a match. But sir, can you bring me a bag of darkness? I failed to see your point, son. What do you have to say? Get it said and get it done. Sir, what I'm saying is there is light. But there's no such thing as darkness. There's an absence of light. An absence of light that we call darkness. But that's our perception. That is only our perception. We gave it a name, but it doesn't really exist. It's the lack of light. What exists is light. And if it's not there, then there is nothing. So you have light or nothing. I fail to see your point, son. Sir, I would like to ask you one more question. Ask. Is there heat?
Now there's heat. Everybody knows there's heat. It's getting hot in here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is there cold? Son, you are pushing yourself. I don't know how you got signed up in my class. You don't know there's cold? Of course there's cold. No, sir, there's not. We have heat, and we measure heat in BTU, British Thermal Units. We measure heat in degrees on a thermometer. We have hot. We have very hot. We have the hottest of hot. But, sir, you can bring heat, but can you bring cold? Because there's no limit on how high heat can go, according to your testable evidence, but there is a limit on how cold can go. 452 degrees Kelvin. After that, it doesn't get any colder than that. That's it. That's the coldest cold there is. According to your science, your testable evidence. What's your point, boy? Point is, sir, we give a name to something to describe how we perceive it, but it doesn't mean it exists. Sir, what's your opinion of God?
You asking me? There isn't any God.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Can you prove there's a God? Show me a God. Anyway, hey, God, where are you?
Oh, the blah. Remember, I'm just doing a part, okay? Sir, why don't you believe in God?
That's simple, boy. Because we're talking about testable evidence here. If I don't hear it, if I don't see it, if I don't smell it, if I don't taste it, if I can't feel it with my hands, it don't exist.
Oh, really? Sir, is there sound?
You pushing me, boy. You pushing me.
There is sound, yes?
Yeah.
All right. So there's sound that is very quiet, medium, loud,
very loud, louder than loud. Yes or no?
Yes. Sir, is there something called silence?
I'd like to have some if there is any right now.
No, sir, there's no such thing as silence. It's the absence of sound. Again, it's a perception that we give it.
Boy, you're pushing my buttons. But what I'm saying, son, is this. There ain't no God, because I don't see no God. I don't hear no God. I can't smell him, can't taste him, can't feel him. And I can't even imagine a God. Therefore, there is no God.
Really, sir? You earlier mentioned something to us about God being good. But isn't good something that we give a perception to, too? And, sir, isn't it true that every human being is born is going to die sooner or later? So, How do you know what's the best way for you to live or die? What would be your evidence for that? What would be your evidence for where you came from? And when you look to the stars, when you look to the constellations, when you look to the planets, and you look at how they're designed, and they're all in a pattern. Are they in a pattern? Yeah. Oh. Where did the pattern come from? No answer. Sir, aren't there spheres, round things going around? And the other spheres, round things going around them, sir, isn't that what's happening out there? So what? Is it true? Yes. And those are in patterns. And they're all working together, moving in the universe. Like a big, huge something moving, turning. Who designed that? It's not a design. What? You're going back to the glass that you drop on the ground. You're going back to this idea. If you drop it on the ground, it breaks into a lot of pieces. Yes or no? I don't see your point. Just think, sir. Because isn't it also, according to your science, something called molecules? Yes. And aren't they little round things? Yes. What is your theory of the atom? Is it a round thing? So what? And doesn't it have little round things going around it too? Huh? Something you call the proton, neutron, electron. And don't they kind of work all together? So what? So you can't see either one with your naked eye. It wasn't until scientists invented a telescope that we knew what planets really were, right? And it wasn't until the study of the planet itself by looking at other constellations and planets, we began to realize that our planet was also kind of moving around. Something to do with that. Is it? So what? And sir, it wasn't until somebody invented the microscope that we could see anything like molecules and come up with the theory of the atoms. Is that true or false? So what? But all of this is organized. All of this is having patterns. And you said yourself that testable evidence. So we have very good evidence of some kind of organization. Who organized it? Who put it in this pattern that you see? Who did that? Did you? No answer. Sir, you talked about God being good. You talked about the things that happen to human beings. And we already said that this is what we perceive. But we don't really know what is good. We don't know what's best for us. But if there's a creator of everything that has been created, and then he's the one who's taking care of everything, he's the sustainer, and then he's the one making things happen, it's up to him to decide what's the best for his creation, yes or no? No answer. Obviously, he's not going to answer that. Because he doesn't want to accept it, does he? Sir, I'd like to call your attention to something. This book. Son, don't be bringing any religion in my class. I don't want the book in here. I don't want you in here. I don't... Sir. Excuse me. This has science in it. What? There is no religion, book, belief out there that's got any testable science. Okay. Sir, then that means if this does have testable science in it, then this means that you'll accept this as a science book and not a religion book. No answer. Okay. First of all, I want to begin with the way it came to our prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The first words from Almighty God to Prophet Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, were something like this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي يعلم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. The class becomes totally silent. They've never heard anything like this before. It's something beautiful. Even some people feel like a tear coming to their eye. They don't know why. They don't know Arabic. But something they feel. What was that he read? Professor is like a statue. He's not moving at all anymore. And the boy continues. He said, sir, the words you just heard came 1,400 years ago from the creator of everything that exists. And he explains about science in those words. He gives an example in those words, and he tells the human being a lot about himself. It says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Iqra, which means recite. By the way, don't say read. Everybody here, repeat after me. Recite. One more time. It means don't say read anymore, because it doesn't carry the right meaning in English anymore. Used to, a long time ago, people used to read poetry, meaning they did it from memory. They don't understand that anymore. Say recite. Okay, back into the story. Okay. So in the story, he's saying it means recite. In the name of your Lord, recite. What? And he's saying something, your Lord who created. Whoa, this is the creator of all of this. He created insan, the human being, min alaq, from an alaq. What is an alaq? He created the human being from a leech. Because it says in the Mawrid, the Arabic dictionary, a leech. That's a little thing in the Amazon River that if it gets on you, it sucks your blood. A leech. It also said, an alaq is a clot. When you get a blood clot, you get cut and it clots up. That's a clot. Clot. Alaq is a clot. And also, alaq means something that clings, hangs on, okay? I don't know if you have it in India, but in my country, we have something called refrigerator magnets. And it's on the front of every refrigerator door. The kids put those magnets up there until you can't see the door anymore. It's all magnets. Those are alaq. They're clinging. Alaq. A leech? Alaq. A clot of blood? Alaq. Something hanging on? And now, in the last couple of decades, they discovered, I'm talking about now, not 1,400 years ago, that under a microscope they can now prove exactly what a human being looks like when he's conceived in the womb of the mother. At the point of conception, he is microscopic. You can't see him with the naked eye, but he is clinging to the wall of the universe. And he's hanging on there, shaped like a what? A leech. And he forms a clot of blood right there. And every time I ask any doctor of gynecology about this, he said that's exactly the description. And Dr. Keith Moore in Toronto, Canada, the top embryologist in the world, said these same words over a decade ago. And we have it on our website, islamtomorrow.com. I worked my commercial right into the, sorry. IslamTomorrow.com, ISLAMTOMORROW.com. We're open 24 hours a day and plenty of free parking. Back to the program in progress. Okay, so here we're back in the professor's university. The boy's telling the professor, back on track, okay? The alaq described here is mentioned by Dr. Keith Moore, and it is in the video on the website. Go listen what he said. He said the description in the Quran of the formation of the fetus inside of the uterus is exactly what we've come to know now. It's no longer a theory. It's testable evidence. And the shape of this, the way it's shaped. And then when Allah speaks about the continuation of the development to the stage of an alaq, mudghah, nutfah, all of these things that Allah mentions exactly fit the description what we know today. And He said, who? A non-Muslim. Who? He's the doctor of embryology for the world. And he said it's impossible that anybody at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew such as this. Therefore, he said this Quran must be from who? Allah. And he said the word in Arabic, Allah. So please, if you're going to preach to me from your scientific point of view, please use your own testable evidence. Maybe you never heard of the Quran before. Maybe you don't know in Surah Ar-Rahman 55, verse 33. He talks to us about the other side, away from ourselves, to the universe and beyond. Anyway, it says, O you assembly of jinn and mankind,
Go ahead and try to go through the layers, the zones of the atmosphere of the heavens and the zones of the earth, and try to get out beyond that. Go ahead, try to go to outer space. Go ahead. But you will never transgress those zones and those layers ever. You're never going to go to outer space. Illa bi sultan. Except by a mighty power and authority. And the English word sultan is from sultan. It means authority or power. I'm going to ask you a question. Sir, professor, hello, are you with us? Sir, when you buy your fuel for your car, how do you buy it? Well, what do you mean? How do you buy it? What quantity? Well, I buy it by the liter. Okay, in the United States, they buy it by the gallon. Yes, and what's your point? Well, it costs a lot of money, sir. Yes, it does. But do you know whenever at NASA, when they buy fuel for those rocket ships to put them in outer space and to put those satellites up there, they don't buy it by the liter. They don't buy it by the gallon. They buy it by the ton. Ton. And they fill up those huge cylinders that they attach to the side of the rocket ship. And then when they light it and it goes up, so much fire comes out. So much. What? What comes out? Sultan. So much power coming out of there to lift that thing up, 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 up. And then when it gets up there, they throw away those cylinders. Because they're through those layers now. They don't have to do that anymore. When it gets up easier, then a little small jet, boom, and send it up. But when did this come? This didn't come last week, did it? It wasn't Newsweek last week. It didn't come out in Life magazine in 1950. It didn't come out in Collier's magazine in 1930. This came in the Quran 1400 years ago in the desert to a man that didn't know how to read nor write. Go ahead. Transgress the bounds, the layers and zones of the earth and the heavens, and go out into outer space if you can. And you can't until you have this authority from Allah and this power that's going to put you up there. Who said that? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, son, I still don't see your point. I don't get it. It's all right, sir. We'll go slow for those who are not paying attention. In this same book, it uses the word outad. Outad means what? Well, I happen to know that one, son. I studied some Arabic. All right, what does it mean? It means tent peg, something you stab down in the ground. You know, stakes or nails in the ground. Good. It's exactly what it means. But Allah used it to describe the Jabal. What is Jabal? Well, that means mountain, boy. You're right. It means mountain. And Allah describes that the roots or the tent pegs coming down off the mountains go down deep, deep, like tent pegs into the ground. Something that nobody knew until the last century. And it's in the books of geography and it's on our website, commercial, islamtomorrow.com. You can go see it there, talking about the Quran. The science in the Quran. Check it out. And what about when Allah tells us about the Bahrain? Two seas. Where the two seas come together. Same surah. Same chapter. He tells us about that. But they don't mix. They can't mix. And when Jacques Cousteau, the eminent scientist from France, discovered this amazing, amazing situation where the Mediterranean feeds off into the Atlantic Ocean, these two big seas coming together, but they have two different salinities, different amounts of salt, two different temperatures, two different densities, two different life forms, not the same. And when they come together, that one stays inside of the other, but they don't mix. And when he got ready to talk about that, he had a Muslim on the boat with him and he said, we already know that. That's in the Quran 1400 years ago. Oop. Yeah, we won't make that then into anything. Leave it. Then when this book talks about when the river of sweet water pours into the salinity of the salt water and they don't mix. And you go to the Mississippi River and you find the same thing that it says right here. And it talks to us in here about the stars. It talks about the moon and the sun and the earth and everything that Allah created and describes them in detail and tells us that the earth is doing what? Kawi. Turning.
turning. The same thing like when you'd make a turban, cowie. Turning. The earth is turning. And nobody believed that back then, because you don't feel the earth turning, do you? So we assumed that the earth was the center of the universe and that the sun was going around us, is what we thought. But it mentions that even the sun is in orbit. The earth is in orbit. How could the sun be in an orbit? But guess what we found out? It's in an orbit. The sun has an orbit. It's not being still. And the earth is going around the sun the same way the moon is going around the earth. All of it's moving, swimming. And Allah uses this. Swimming. Swimming. Who is telling us this? The Rabbil Alameen. The Lord of the worlds. I don't see your point, son. I didn't think you would. I didn't expect you to. I'm not doing this just for you. I'm reminding myself and anybody else that can hear me, because I'm not trying to guide you. If your Lord wants you guided, He'll guide you. But He says in this book, do not the unbelievers see it? Take a look at this book. If it were from other than Allah, you would find within it what? Many contradictions. Find one. We're waiting. 1400 years we're waiting, and so far all they come up with is some goofy websites that they put up today and take down tomorrow. The only reason they stay there is because stupid Muslims keep passing around the wrong websites. Our website, on the other hand, is islamtomorrow.com, which you're free to pass around. Alhamdulillah, I'm over it. You got to watch out for Texans, by the way, you know. You're either with us or... Never mind, that's another speech. So back to the classroom. And here is this boy, this young boy, talking to professors like paralyzed. He can't think anymore. He never heard anybody talk like that. And he keeps pointing to this book and talking about the Quran. The Quran says, if you're in doubt about it, bring a book like it. 1400 years. Nobody did that. Now I'm going to digress just for a minute and let you think. I have visited on many campuses throughout the United States and Canada and in Mexico and in Pakistan, Egypt, and in Turkey. I've been around the world, alhamdulillah. Coming here is a great experience for me here in India. And I thank Allah for that. And I'm telling you that everywhere I went, I asked people the same questions. Everywhere I asked about the subject of revelation, I got the same answers. The Quran is still existing in the original language of Quran. The language of recitation in which it came, Lagu Arabiya, is there. It exists. Today people still speak it. They still understand it. Bait house. Batta, duck. Yom, day. All of these things are known. It's right there. It's easy. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to appreciate the Quran. But if you are a rocket scientist, then the knowledge that you have for going into outer space was there 1400 years ago. And while we're on the subject of science and scientists, it was Muslim scientists 1,000 years ago that offered us the testable way to find out what is true. Who are the ones who came up with the idea of testable evidence in the first place? If it wasn't Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, who was it? Test the evidence before you put it down. Did he do that? Yes or no? Test the evidence. The evidence used in Scotland Yard uses the same premise that was set out by our great imams 12 to 1300 years ago. The same way they rate you on the internet to determine your credit worthiness on eBay is based on the same premise that these scholars use to test the rawaya, the chain of narrators, to show us which hadith are real and which ones aren't. The ijazah of Quran is an evidence in itself of what? The science of testable evidence. And you never had a university whatsoever like you have today until you copied it from the universities in Spain when it was under Muslim rule. And you never even knew what a university like this was until you visited Iraq and saw them there. And when you visited Cairo and saw what's still today the oldest university still operating on earth, Al-Azhar. Alhamdulillah, Allah let me go there and be there and sit with the ulama. And when I'm going to use the word ulama, say ulama, ulama. A person who has knowledge is a alim. alim, right? And what do you call somebody who graduates from a university if you don't call him a what? Somebody graduates, he's a alumni. From what word? Oops. Oops. Now you know. And they still wear the long black robe. No, it's not Latin, it's Arabic. Alumni from Alim. And the long black robe. Where did it come from? And go to Turkey right now and watch the imams. When they're going to lead Salat, they go in their little cubbyhole and get their little cap and put it on. Then he gets his black robe and he's wearing the same one they're wearing today in universities. Because they're copying the way of the scholars of Islam 1,000 years ago. If you want to talk to me about testable evidence, we'll talk all day long, as far back as you want to go. Sir, do you know anything about algebra? Of course I do. Good. What does it mean? Well, it's the science of using a number that's represented, it's an unknown number represented by a letter. Who thought it up? I don't know. Algebra. It's Arabic. It came from the Muslim scientists. What about the numbering system? Isn't it called the Arabic numbering system? And who thought it up? Who came up with a zero? The Muslim scientists right here in India. Only they called it Arabic because they didn't want to call them Muslim. So they said anybody became Arabicized. They didn't want to say they became Muslim. And how do you account for the fact that every single one of these evidences here is irrefutable and there's no mistakes in this book? How? Go ahead. Show me. I brought something that's testable evidence. It even tells me that people like you who don't want to believe, whether I warn you or warn you not, la yub minun, you're not going to believe because Allah has placed a seal on your heart. He placed a seal on your hearing. He placed a seeing over your seeing another seal. Who did that? Your Creator, because you don't want to know Him. And until you want to know Him, you're not going to know Him because He doesn't need you. Professor doesn't have anything else to say. He's already thinking, I'm going to get this kid out of my class. That's it. Finish. Just sit down. Oh, sir, one more thing. I just have one last question, and I'm going to go sit down. Good. What's your question? Sir, you told us to you that testable evidence is something that you can see. That's right. Something you can hear. That's right. Something that you can smell or taste. Something you could feel. Something you could imagine. That's right. So all of these things, sir, are testable evidence to you. That's right. Sir, can I ask you one final question? Just one. Go ahead. Sir, has anybody ever seen your brain? Has anybody ever heard your brain? Has anybody ever smelled your brain, tasted your brain, felt your brain, or imagined your brain? No? Well then, sir, according to your testable evidence, you don't have a brain.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh, for sharing this knowledge with us. Alhamdulillah. I do not want to deprive you of Q&A, even though it's too late. I urge all of you to stick to the topics so that, you know, it will be all connected, and then we can go forward, inshallah. JazakAllah khair.
I'm Satyendra. Sir, you are converted from Christian into Islam. Please explain this in detail. Is it a spiritual transformation or is it testable evidences?
It takes about an hour and 40 minutes. I don't know if you really want that one right now. But I'll tell you where you can get it. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. First of all, I want to tell you something. Thank you for taking your time to be with us and share. And please, I'm from Texas. And we have an attitude in Texas. We don't really mean anything by it, but it's kind of like a pushy attitude. So when I do stuff, I hope you'll understand it's just a bad habit that I have. And I want to really greet you in the right way and treat you in a good way, okay? And you have good questions. And certainly, I have myself, when I was very much younger, had some of the same thoughts that you've had. How could there be a life after this life when you don't see anything? And how could there be a God when I don't see any God? So, what's the evidence? And this is really what it keeps coming back to. What can I prove? But there are people that no matter how much you try to prove to them, they're not going to accept it. They say, I'm a seeker of truth. How many people here have you met somebody who said, I'm a seeker of truth?
We all have. But when you bring them the truth and they go, but I don't want to accept that, then why? So many of the people who claim to be scientists and following scientific testable evidences, when we show them real proof with testable evidence, when it doesn't go with what they already want to believe, they refuse to accept it. I recall just a couple years ago, in one of the scientific journals that I picked up in one of the airports, there was an article talking about the scientists had come across some study under a microscope in a laboratory to realize that there was a particular life form that actually had been here in the same form since forever and a day, but it never evolved. It is still exactly like it always was. And they don't have any precursor for it. It just showed up one day on the earth, and therefore they decided this broke their idea of evolution. And they came up with something, and they called it, this is a design, and it has intelligent pattern behind it, ID, intelligent design. When they came up with this, and a number of other professors began to agree with it, there was one particular professor in Colorado whom they quoted in their journal. When he heard what they had said, that there was some intelligent design, without examining their evidence, without considering to read the material, their thesis that they had produced, he totally debunked it with his statement. He said, this is a bunch of bull, and he used a word that we use in Texas all the time. That was his answer. And he was one of the top professors in his field in Colorado. But when it didn't agree with what he already wanted to believe, he doesn't even need to read it. He doesn't need to study it. He just knows already it doesn't work. Is he a seeker of truth, yes or no? Is he? I don't think so. Because a seeker of truth is willing to look at all evidence. In fact, it is not a logical person who takes testable evidence and sets it aside for his own preconceived notions. Sir, I'm going to guess that you've been exposed to religions that have a lot of mistakes in them, that you can prove those religions are wrong, and I'm going to agree with you. In fact, I'm going to agree with you in that I'm going to say there isn't any God anywhere in this universe. There is only the God that created the universe, and he's not in it. Then I'm going to agree with you if you said there's no religion that is correct. I'm going to say you are right. No man-made religion can be correct because we're not God. But sir, if there's a religion, it has to come from God. And this book tells me, in Adina, in the Lahir, Islam. Which means in Arabic to English, more or less, that Allah, the creator and sustainer of the universe, is not going to accept any of the man-made religions. He's going to only accept the way of life which he has asked us to follow. It's a choice for us to accept or reject. It's as simple as that. Now, as regards the idea of testable evidence, I gave you a little scenario there. But I have one, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters here today. I want to share this with you, not that I'm trying to teach you anything, but rather something that you can use for the children, because I'm very worried about our children. And I'd like for them to know that we have evidence that's testable. And I use this when I go into the schools, elementary schools, and visit with them. And I want you to think about what I'm going to say. And remember, I'm directing this to a child's mind, not a big scholar, just a little child. I tell them there's a story I want to share with you. Let's have some fun. And the kids like to have fun. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to help me make some noise. So whenever I say the whistle, I want you to go, woo-woo, and all the children will do that. So you help me out. Woo-woo. All right. Now I'm going to say the bell. I want you to make the sound of a bell. Clang, 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 ding, 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 bell. Okay. Now I want the sound of a train coming. Make the noise for me, yeah? Stomp on the floor with your feet. Okay. And they'll do it. They're having fun. Now let me tell you the story. One day you and I were walking along, and we come across a place where there's a railroad track, and somebody has put a tent on top of the railroad track. And we say, oh my God. And we go to him and say, sir, who are you? He said, I'm new here. Well, is this your tent? Yeah, what are you going to do about it? No, you're on a railroad track. He said, a what? A railroad track, sir. He said, I don't know what you're saying. railroad track. Railroad track. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. This is a railroad track. Yeah, it's kind of nice, isn't it? That's why I'm set up here. Makes little bars on the side to keep the bugs and stuff from away from me. And again, no, sir. This is for a train. A what? A train. What's a train? You know what's a train? Who never heard of a train? You know what's a train? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. It's really big. It's huge. He said, bigger than a mosquito? No, it's big, big. Bigger than a dog? It's huge, sir. It's really a train is something big. I don't know what you're talking about. Sir, this train is going to come through here. You need to move your tent because this train will be here in about 15 minutes. I don't believe you. No, sir, there's a train and it's going to come. I don't believe you. I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. I don't feel anything. Therefore, it doesn't exist. Sir, please move your tent. No. You want me to move my tent so you can take this good spot. I found it. Go get your own. This thing is long. You can go that way. You can go that way. I'm not moving. This is my tent. I ain't moving. And you can't make me. Sir, I don't care about that. But this is a lovely little place right over here or right over there. But, sir, you have to get off of this. You can't make me. Sir, this is a railroad track. No, it's not. Then, sir, tell me what it is. What is this if it's not a railroad track? These are designed for wheels to go right here on these two things called rails. And then these boards hold it in place. What do you think it is? Well, these are steps. They're steps? Yeah. Then what is this little rail? He said, this is steps for a midget to hold on to. That's his rail. Sir, if I can give you any evidence, will you listen to me? Any evidence at all, will you believe me? Sir, if you hear the train coming, if you hear the bell, okay, then will you believe? Yeah, okay. And if you hear the whistle, will you believe? And if you feel the ground moving, will you believe? He said, yeah. Okay. In a few minutes, sure enough, the ground starts moving. Do you feel that, sir? Do you feel it? He said, no. Don't you feel it? The shaking. It's shaking. He said, it's another earthquake. It's a tremor from the one we had on 26 December. He said, sir, I told you it was going to happen. It's time. The train's coming. It's coming around there. It's big. It's going to hurt you. It's going to kill you. Sir, please move off the track. I don't believe you. But you said you would. Listen, listen. There's the bell. Listen. He said, that's the ice cream man. What am I going to do with this guy? Listen, there's the whistle. Listen to the whistle. Huh? He said, that's a sick owl. Owl. You know the bird? Hoo, hoo, hoo. Okay. What can I do? What can I do to convince this man? Are these not the signs of a train? Yes or no? These are the signs of a train. You have shown him the signs, yet he refuses to believe. And Allah tells me in the Quran, it's not me who guides him. That's not my job. I've delivered a message. Now it's for me to get off the track and get away, far away, so I don't get all this on me when the train hits him. Step away. Sir, we've produced evidences here tonight that are testable. I'm sure that you didn't have time to go through all of it tonight, but you can visit our website and test the evidences for yourself. Prove these evidences to be true or false, either way, that's up to you. My email is wide open, askislam@aol.com, and I can publish your question and answer right on the internet so anybody can see what you have to say and what I have to say about it. And you're most welcome. But be sure you read the evidences first, because otherwise I'm just going to send you the links and send you right back to it. Okay? IslamTomorrow.com. Check it out for yourself. I'm not trying to guide you to what I have. It's not my religion. It belongs to Him. If you like it, it's your relationship with Him, and you will never have it until you go in your own heart, clean away your prejudice, get rid of all the things, misconceptions, hatred that you already have. Clean your heart. and then challenge God. I challenged God 13 years ago when I put my head on the ground. The only thing I said was, God, if you're there, guide me. Listen to the statement, if you're there. Is that not a challenge? That doesn't sound like somebody that's really that convinced all of a sudden, does it? So probably you're not convinced. That's fine. And I'm not telling you to make a prostration and put your head on the ground either. I'm not saying that. I did. Because I had met a gentleman who I really liked a lot, and I saw what he did, and I felt like he was doing a good thing. But all you need to do is go inside of your own heart. And if you're sincere and you really mean it, if you said, God, you're the one who created me, if you are there, then you ought to know what I'm thinking. I don't have to even move my mouth. Prove it to me. Go ahead. Prove it. I dare you. And if nothing comes, hey, you didn't lose anything, did you? But if you see anything after that, you have really seen signs. Does it make sense? I'm going to finish with that. If you have anything else, send it to me in email. Really appreciated it. Anybody else have anything tonight? Let us know.
I am Pratap. I'm doing my final year engineering. I really want to know if Islam is the only way for our salvation. Let's consider two cases, sir. In the first case, let us take a Muslim, very pious person who does prayers 5 times a day. And he's really good. He does good to the society and all that. And he lives a very normal life and he dies. Not many people know about him. And we are sure that he's going to reach heaven. Am I right?
Go ahead. You tell the story.
Yeah. Then we'll take the case of people like Gandhiji or Mother Teresa. And they are not Muslims. And they have lived such a precious life. And what is their fate? And I hope even they end up in heaven. So my question is Islam the only way for our salvation?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam. What's your name?
Pratap Chandran. I'm a Hindu.
Okay. Well, anyway, you're welcome and thank you for a good question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. All right. First of all, you use the word in Arabic language. You speak Arabic? You can just shake your head. I don't need you. You don't speak Arabic. Okay. Do you know what aslam means? Taslim? Salam? No. Okay. So when you use a word and you don't know what it means, it wouldn't be fair for me to give you an answer in Arabic, would it? Because my answer in Arabic is Naam. Naam. Now what does that mean? And what am I answering? And you don't have a clue. So is it okay with you if I translate some words so you know better what I'm saying? Is everybody accepting that, right? What is Islam? Do you think Islam is like Hinduism? Do you think it's like Christianity? Do you think it's like Judaism, Buddhism, Taoism? Huh? It's not. Because it's a verb. As well as being a noun, it's a verb. What's a verb? Action. Something you do. It describes what you're doing. Got me? What is it based on? A root. Sa-la-ma. Sum. From this root, sum, we do have all the other words that I just mentioned to you. A lot of Muslims make the mistake of saying, Islam is peace, man. Islam is peace. But it's not. Because when we greet each other, we don't say, Islam alaikum. We say, salam alaikum. Right or wrong? So what is Islam? Islam means something. It's action. I'm going to give you 5 of the things to think about. Surrender. Somebody pulls a gun on you? Surrender. Submit. You're going to have to do something now. Huh? Obey. Sincere. You have to do these things in sincerity. And peace. And it's action pointing in a direction without mentioning the subject. Action pointing. If I said to you, go, go. I don't move. I just say, go. What do I want? I want you to leave. If I say, come, come. What am I saying to you? Come on. I don't have to give you everything. I don't have to say, I want you to come to me. I can just say, come. All right? Make sense? Okay. Islam. Islam. I'm telling you to do something. Islam. It's Islam, man.
going, I don't get it. It's because it's in Arabic. But if I say to you, submit, okay, yeah. Surrender, okay, what do you want? I give up. Obey, all right, I'll do it. But do it sincerely. That's the hard part. And do it in peace. Oh, my God, you really make it tough. Because that's what it's about. And it implies and points to the direction of who? Allah. Allah. Not to me, not to a government, not to a nation, not to an ism, but to Allah. To do what? Do what God wants you to do. Huh? Do you agree that a human being should not make up his own religion and tell God to accept it? Do you agree with that idea? Do you agree that if God shows you a way to go, that you should take that over some man-made way? Yes or no? Do you agree that a human being should submit, surrender, obey God on his terms sincerely and in peace? Do you believe it? Yes or no? Well, see, you're already saying, I like Islam, and you didn't know that. Now, maybe you don't like some Muslims, and guess what? There's some I don't like either. But that doesn't mean that I don't like Islam. In fact, if I don't like Islam, I'm saying I don't want to do what God wants me to do. If we have any Christians with us today, don't be afraid. We're not going to hurt you, I promise. Any Christians? Any, even one? You don't have to come up here. Just want to know if you're here. Okay. Relax. We got a couple Christians. Christians will tell you they know something about the Bible, usually. I want you to think about this. There's a passage in the Bible, in the New Testament. Testament meaning that you bear witness, testify to something. And in this testament, this New Testament, it says that someone named Jesus or Isa told the people how to pray. And a beautiful part of that prayer says, God, I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Any Christian here ever heard that before? Please raise your hand. You heard it? God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Oh, you didn't read your book. Well, it's there. It's actually in two places in the New Testament, in the Gospels. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what does that mean? That means Islam. That means Islam. That's what it's talking about. According to the book that still exists today, it tells them that Jesus did not cancel any of the Old Testament. In fact, he was specific about that he doesn't cancel the Torah or Old Testament. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19, don't think that I came to destroy the Torah, the Old Testament, the law. They call it law in English. I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, their teachings, but rather to fulfill, and not until all things are accomplished shall a single dot, jot, or iota be in any wise lessened from the law. Whoever breaks the least commandment, listen to me, whoever breaks the least commandment, the least, and teaches this, he's going to be the least in the kingdom. But whoever keeps the commandments and teaches this, he'll be the highest in the kingdom. Does that sound fair? How many Muslims agree with what I just said? We got to do what God wants us to do, yes or no? The Muslims are agreeing with that. That means Islam, God's commandments. Believe in God and do what He wants you to do. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَهُ نَفَعَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. Allah said in Surah Al-Bayyinah, the people before us, from the Jews and the Christians, were not ordered anything more than to believe in Allah and keep the religion pure for Him. The worship is pure for Him. Establish regular worship, the salah, and pay the charity, the zakah. And this is the religion of Allah, most clear. So, I'm going to ask you now, and I want you to think. You mentioned Gandhi. He's a nice guy. Did you know that he said very good things about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's on my website, islamtomorrow.com. I couldn't help it. I had to put it in there one more time. It talks about
the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Gandhi is a big endorser of Muhammad, and he's talking about him as being a great religious teacher and that his religion of Islam is good. So if you're a Hindu, you should listen to Gandhi and see what he said about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you know anything about Mother Teresa, you know that she was kicked out of the Catholic Church because she didn't follow them, but rather she was trying to follow what she thought God wanted her to do. So if these people knew there was one God and they worshipped Him on His terms, who's the judge? Allah. And it's up to Him to judge them, not me. And they're already dead. So what would be the benefit for me to slander somebody who's already dead? Maybe they have a chance, maybe they don't, but there's no benefit for me here today to talk about somebody that's dead. I want to talk to these people out here that are still alive before they're dead. And let's worry about us today, what we need to do to be servants of Almighty God. And you heard the message tonight, regardless of what the people before us heard or didn't hear, you heard it. There's a God. And He has a religion for you, and if you don't want it, then it's between you and Him, not you and me. It's up to you. If you want it, you're going to have to ask Him for it. That's the only way it's going to come. May Allah guide all of us. Ameen.